They crossed over a ridge, leaving the poisoned water behind them, finding themselves in a cleaner and fresher part of the country. There were sweeping banks of scented flowers, the blossoms drooping heavily toward the lush grass, and they forded three fast-running streams of good, sparkling water. They could see the tall plume of smoke more clearly, and could even catch the smell of it when the wind shifted a little. It carried the flavor of cooking meat, which made all of them salivate with hunger.
Hope they're friendly to outlanders.
Won't matter that much if they're not. I'm getting pretty hungry myself.
Jack threw his cold python at the flock of doves overhead.
Don't do it, Jack. If we want everyone to know there's strangers in the woods, then we can yell out and tell them.
Soon they came upon the small community, which they approached with great caution. The streams had melted into a large river, which flowed over bubbling shallows, running deeper a little farther beyond the village, through high cliffs.
Hold up here. We'll see what kind of folks they are before we show our faces.
The outlanders observed the town from behind a wall of undergrowth. About a dozen shacks, mostly thatched with reeds, stretched along a main street of trampled mud. The smoke that they'd seen from afar came from what looked to be a communal cooking fire, with two or three iron pots dangling over it. The smell of broiling meat filled the air. Ryan counted 17 people. 9 were children below the age of adolescence. 5 were women, one of them extremely old. Of the 3 men, only one looked to be under 50, and he walked with a heavy limp, dragging a wasted right leg behind him as he moved, leaning heavily on a carved stick.
Just step in and take it.
My guess is that the men are out hunting. Could come back any time. Don't want to get caught cold-cocked and have to chill our way out.
Not unless we have to.
Yeah.
A couple of scrawny dogs sniffed around each other. Mildred grinned at the sight.
Did I ever tell you the first time I saw 2 dogs making it? I was about 6, and I was out with my Uncle Josh. I asked him what the dogs were doing. Well, Millie, he said, the poor animal in front has been struck sightless, and the one behind is helping to push it to the hospital for the blind.
Never forgot that.
The scent of the cooking stew was driving them all crazy.
How long are we going to wait here, Ryan?
That food's got to be ready soon. I want to see if the hunters come back to eat, or whether it's just for the folks left here. Give it a little longer.
By then, I fear that I shall have faded away utterly and be nothing but a handful of rags and a shred or two of skin and bone.
Doc held up his hand.
Look, my friends, it is more like the claw of an eagle.
I'd have to say it was more like some old crow, Doc.
Just a little longer.
Ryan was right. They watched a dozen men come toward them from the direction of the river. The companions flattened, peering through the brush at the band of men, aged from mid-teens to mid-40s, walking by, carrying the carcass of a deer slung over a pole. Most of them were hefting old single-shot, long-barreled muskets, while a couple had primitive cap-and-ball pistols. Several had long, broad-bladed swords. They wore mostly a collection of ragged clothes and patched furs.
Double poor. Kind that might turn on strangers like rabid dogs.
Could be. Pestle like this won't welcome outlanders.
Wish we had a war wag with us.
They look like decent, honest people. Why don't we just go and ask for food? Explain we've gotten ourselves lost and we're hungry.
Indeed. I find myself in agreement with my colleague. Surely they would not think to refuse poor travelers sustenance.
Wouldn't they? I'm not going to stake my life on that, Doc. I've seen dozens, maybe hundreds of places like this. Tiny inbred communities, where everyone fucks everyone else, and the only thing they unite on is a hatred of strangers. Get more kindness from mad dogs.
So, what we do?
Talk loudly and carry a big stick. Is that not correct?
Ryan smiled, standing cautiously and drawing the Sig Sauer from its holster.
Yeah, go in fast and heavy. Get out quick.
Want me and Mildred to circle around and come in from the other side? Looks like a wider river through yonder. Could be boats. Take us away from here to do some exploring.
Right. Take 4 minutes from now. Move in and try and keep them under control. Just tell them we only want to be fed, and then we'll leave.
Chilling?
Only if we have to. Now go.
JB, carrying the reloaded Uzi at high point, vanished silently away to the right, followed by Mildred. Ryan stayed where he was with Christy, Jack, and Doc, checking his wrist chron, counting off the seconds.
Remember, that we have to make them think we'll blast them if they step out of line.
Well, we will, won't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we will.
Ryan looked again at the changing digital display.
Almost time. Let's get moving, people.
Standing, they walked through the brush and into clear daylight. The disabled man appeared to be the leader of the ragged community, and he was the first to see them, spotting Ryan.
Don't kill us, mister!
The man dropped awkwardly to his knees, his hands clasped in front of him.
Please, mister!
Ryan saw JB and Mildred coming in from the other end. The sudden appearance of six heavily armed strangers spread fear throughout the village. Everyone outside dropped to their knees, their hands clasped.
Everyone keep still, and nobody do anything foolish, and nobody gets hurt.
What do you want, mister?
We just want food. We got ourselves lost in that maze of lakes back there. We're really hungry. We smelled your stew cooking and figured you wouldn't let honest folks starve.
Sure. Surely, neighbors. What we have, you're welcome to. Be ready to eat right soon.
You can stay a night or more, neighbor. Any of you with no bed warmers be welcome to take your pick.
Thanks for that offer, but no thanks. Just a meal, and we'll be on our way. What's that river yonder?
Now that Ryan was in the center of the village, he could see it more clearly, making out a ramshackle jetty with a couple of rafts moored there. The man grinned, showing a mouth filled with rotting teeth that jostled and leaned against each other like a cemetery after a quake.
You don't know what the river is, neighbor? Where you been all your life?
Hither and yon.
Well, that'd be Tennessee.
The Tennessee River?
Surely be.
Where does it run?
JB stood on the other side of the man, holding his Uzi, watching warily.
It runs to Canada and to the Gulf of Mexico. So they says. As there ain't a man nor wench from these parts ever been far enough to see. We travel a day or so to the north and south. No more. Not safe. Gangs of muties. You seen muties, neighbor?
Not lately. Plenty over the years. You troubled by stickies?
And scabbies. And swampies. And ghoulies. You name them and we seen them.
Ryan looked around the circle of haunted, watchful faces, seeing the ingrained dirt and mistrust, the tiny red eyes like trapped rodents that flicked along the line of outlanders. His guess at inbreeding was probably right. Hardly one in five looked normal, with every kind of mental and physical disease displayed.
Food, and then we'll be gone.
The villagers didn't show any sign of rebellion, though resentment at giving away their precious food was etched clearly on every ruined face. The outlanders sat along a wooden table, each with a wooden bowl of hot stew sitting before them. As they ate, they kept their guns at the ready, prepared for anything.
What is this place called?
Ain't called nothing, neighbor. Don't give a name to a place you eat and sleep and shit. No point.
No. I suppose there is some sort of logic behind that thinking.
The food was excellent. Better than many a meal that Ryan had eaten in some of the wealthiest and most powerful villes in Deathlands. It was a stew that seemed to consist mainly of roasted venison, though there was also some pork in it. There were chunks of potato, carrot, and turnip, all spiced and flavored with an assortment of herbs. Ryan checked his cron, seeing that it was closing in on 2 p.m.
Where's the nearest vill to here?
Beanoville! No barren rules hereabouts, neighbor. Nothing to rule, if you see what I mean. Be vills to the south and west. Old Memphis has vills. Not that any of us been there.
Nashville?
Wouldn't know, girlie. Believe that Nashville was nuked out of the sight of God and man. So they says, Sodom and Gomorrah rolled together, it was. Worshippers at the shrine of Baal, they says.
And the ungodly were smitten, and all their clothes rent, and their dwellings cast down, and the Lord soweth their fields with salt, and left not one stone upon another.
Amen!
What book of the Bible did that come from?
The first book of Mildred.
Can it, Doc? This is where it could get worn. We're grateful for the meal, neighbors. We surely are.
Welcome, ye is.
Everyone got to their feet. Ryan pointed toward the Tennessee River.
One more favor. We'd like to borrow one of your rafts. We'll bring it back here to you in a day or two.
You asking or you telling?
Now the suppressed anger and hostility came seething out. Suddenly daggers were drawn, and fingers played with the hammers on flintlocks.
You got off light and easy, neighbors. No harm done. A little food is all. You can build another raft in a day or less.
Build one yourself!
Yeah!
In this world, there are sheep and there are wolves. You might not like it, especially since you're all the sheep and we're the wolves. But the best thing a sheep can do is keep its bastard head down and stay quiet. Wolves eventually move on. You understand me?
Ryan looked at their chief.
You understand?
Yeah.
Good. JB, you lead on and we'll follow you. Triple red.
It looked as if it was going to work, but they still had to actually get away on the raft, and that would be the most vulnerable moment. They skirted the fire, JB and Mildred going on ahead to check the raft and get it ready for a speedy embarkation. Ryan had the Sig Sauer cocked in his right hand, walking slowly sideways, his eyes never leaving the villagers, who had formed themselves into a half circle, moving parallel to the outlanders toward the wide river. It was like a powder keg, waiting for a spark.
Could shoot a few, buy some time.
No, not unless we have to. They're still terrified of us. We can get away with no blood spilled.
JB and Mildred loosened the mooring lines on the larger of the pair of crude rafts, checking there were long oars aboard to propel them along. They beckoned for Ryan and the others to come aboard. The villagers were following them like a pack of curs, smoldering with anger. None of them, however, dared to actually attack.
We gave you food, and you take our lives! We could have killed all of you!
That's not true, and you all know it. One wrong move in this stinking pest hole could cease to be.
The river was 100 feet wide, flowing fast and clear. To the north were high cliffs and gorges, but the way south was between open bluffs, tree-lined. Ryan stepped aboard, followed by Christy. Doc came next, stumbling and nearly losing his balance on the rocking logs. Jack hopped agilely on to help the old man. Mildred was already in the bow, JB holding the single stern line. The raft was about 15 feet square, with a crude cabin of logs, chinked with mud at its center. There was a long steering oar fixed in a notch at the stern, and four oars to help control and drive the vessel.
Let her go.
Suddenly, one of the villagers threw a jagged flint at Jack.
Ah!
He instinctively swung his magnum around. Shocked, JB quickly pushed the raft off from the muddy shore with his boots. Once on board, he grabbed the steering oar as the current immediately picked at the bound logs, swinging them out into the main stream. On the slowly moving, rocking raft, Ryan and his companions were at a great disadvantage. Most of the men with firearms were able to open fire at close range, pouring lead at them. Suddenly, Jack folded over in pain. Ryan leveled his Sig Sauer on a pair of men with muskets. Ryan was hit in the thigh. He grabbed at the wound with his left hand, feeling the warmth of spilling blood against his fingers. Bracing himself against the movement of the raft while it gathered pace toward the center of the stream, Doc leveled his hand cannon at the enraged mob. Doc's shot gave JB and the women the few seconds respite they needed to get their act together. It's a lot easier to fire from land against a moving target than it was to fire at stationary targets from a moving raft. But Ryan's company had vastly superior weaponry and decimated the enemy while they were still struggling to reload their single-shot weapons. Ryan was lying flat near the edge of the raft, ignoring the bullet wound in his leg. The villagers were finally beginning to scatter from the heavy fire. Jack was still hunched up from what looked to be a serious wound. A musket ball in the belly could easily turn out to be lethal.
Hold your fire! They've broken. Use the oars and get the raft out into the current, on the far side. We'll all take cover in case they start trying to snipe at us.
You hit, lover?
Ball in the leg. See to Jack. I think he got shot in the guts. Could be more serious.
While Doc worked the steering oar, JB took over Ryan's dire rifle and kept watch for any resumption of hostilities. But the villagers had taken at least a dozen fatalities and had lost all heart for the fight. Christy and Mildred dragged Ryan and Jack inside the cabin while the doctor checked their wounds. She first examined Jack, who was still folded up, hands clasped over his midriff.
Move yourself, Jack, so I can see what the damage is.
Ryan peered down at his own wound. There was a ragged tear in his pant leg, halfway between the knee and hip. He touched himself gingerly on both sides of the thigh, feeling both an entrance and an exit wound.
I think I'm lucky. I think the ball went clean through near the outside.
Doesn't feel like it hit anything too serious on the way. How's the kid?
Don't call me that, Ryan. I'm all right. Just saw.
But I saw you go down. Gut shot.
Look. Look at his belt.
Ryan looked across the cramped little cabin, seeing that Jack's broad leather belt had a massive brass buckle. And there was the soft lead musket ball, splashed in a bright blur across the brass. Lucky.
Yeah, feel like I got kicked by a mule. Fucking bastard.
We did take their food and their raft.
Still bastards.
Mildred left Jack and knelt by Ryan on the rocking, shifting logs. After a few moments, she agreed with his own diagnosis.
I need to look properly when we get a chance, but I think you're right. Seems to have gone clear through and not even nipped the muscle. Pure flesh wound. I'll wash it out, then tie it up for you to ease the bleeding.
Woohoo! Got that son of a bitch. Don't think they'll bother us anymore.
How is young Jack? And what of our beloved leader?
Jack's got a nasty bruise around his navel. Lucky pup, I tell you.
And Ryan?
I'll be fine in a while. Got a musket ball went in and out. Have it bandaged and be righter than rain. How are we doing out there?
Making about 8 or 10 miles an hour. Think we're already clear from any more danger from the double poor villagers.
Mildred was still examining Ryan's bleeding wound.
Ryan, I think we should pull into the bank for a few minutes when it's safe. I'd like to do my medical work on dry land.
Jack was already on his feet, peering out of the cabin, wincing as he touched the deep purple bruise that had sprung up on his snow-white stomach.
I'll help with the oars. Steer us in.
Me too.
Christy stooped to kiss Ryan on the cheek.
Glad it's not too bad, lover. When you went down, I thought... Well, I just thought, that's all.
Ryan lay back, feeling slightly sick, the pain beginning to swell in his leg.